Our second reading is from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 15, to be found on page 11. The actual the reading is on page 1156, beginning at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hope, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we begin. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, equip us today as we read your word. Teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us, that we might be able to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the top of the little sheet and coming up on the screen is my aim today. It is to encourage you to be more risky, more edgy, more bold about living out your faith in Jesus than you currently are, because you will be raised. To encourage you to be more risky, more edgy, more bold about living out your faith in Jesus than you currently are, because you will be raised. What do I mean by edgy? Well, I suppose, guys, I don't mean growing a hipster beard and having a man bun. That would be edgy, wouldn't it, in the world's views. I'm talking about something else here. And ladies, I'm not talking about getting a nose ring. That would be edgy. But we're talking about something else here. Have a look at the end of the passage, end of chapter rather, chapter 15, verse 58, over on the next page there. Paul ends this bit of his teaching by saying, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." In other words, stand firm in Jesus, keep trusting him. "Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Being edgy for Jesus means always giving ourselves fully to the work of Jesus, to living for him in our lives and living that out in the way we think, the way we plan, the way we live. And maybe you're quite bold already. Maybe people know that you're someone who trusts in Jesus, and maybe you chat about Jesus with your friends. Perhaps you give generously to St. Lawrence so that we can do gospel work. Perhaps you're wondering how your life might grow in that. And maybe you're thinking about some stage in the future doing some full-time Christian work or a short period of Christian work or something like that. You're quite bold and edgy already. Maybe that's you. In that case, I want to encourage you to think more like that. Take a step in that those directions or those plans. Don't let things hold you back. And maybe you're not that bold. Your friends don't know that you're someone who trusts in Jesus. You've never invited them to something. Never invited them to church or to a ladies' craft evening or men's breakfast or whatever. And your planning for your work, your career, or maybe your retirement shows no signs of any influence of Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you to be more risky, more edgy, more bold about living out your faith. Not to radically change so that you're totally different, although that'd be wonderful, but to take a step in that direction. Maybe with the way you plan your time. Maybe with inviting a friend. Pray for a friend that you might have an opportunity to invite them. And all of us, we're somewhere in between, aren't we, probably? I want to encourage each one of us to be more risky, more edgy, more bold. Because of the resurrection. The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which we're thinking about because it's the season of Easter, but Jesus is always raised from the dead. But in this passage, in particular, our resurrection, your resurrection and mine, which will happen in the future because of Jesus' resurrection. And my slogan to go with this aim I want to encourage you in, my slogan is, think right, live risky. Think right, live risky. Think right. Let's get our thinking straight on our resurrection, the fact that we're going to be raised one day. And if we trust Jesus, then his resurrection means that we'll be raised. Let's get our thinking right on that. And so let's let the fact that we'll be raised lead to our lives being lived differently. Think right. And then live risky. If we're going to be raised, well, what is actually important? If there's a possibility of other people being raised from the dead who don't know it yet, what's actually important as we live our lives? Resurrection is available. Jesus is Lord. What do we want to be remembered for? What are we going to spend our lives on? Think right. Live risky. Well, let's see what Paul said to the Corinthians here. We're starting at verse 20. And the first thing he says to them is, you will be raised. What's going on here is that they think they won't be. So they've got this problem. They think they won't be raised. They accept that Jesus has been raised from the dead. That's what was preached to them. That's what they believed. But they think that's just for Jesus. And if there is any kind of resurrection, well, that was the new life they got when they became a Christian. And that's it. They're going to die and rot like everyone else. So have a look at verse 12 from last week's passage. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? They were. Some of them were saying there's no resurrection from the dead. And verse 32, halfway through, he says, if the dead are not raised, which is what they were saying, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the attitude you can have, isn't it? Because this life is all there is. But Paul says that makes no sense. If there's no resurrection, nothing works about Christianity. That's what last week's passage was about. It's all pointless. And he ends last week's, the bit before this, by saying, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. We're wasting our time if there's no resurrection. And he wants to show them here that that's twaddle. Believers will be raised. And there are reasons for that. So here's his first reason. You will be raised. Think right, he's saying. And the reason is that one influential man changes everything. In fact, there are two influential men who have changed everything. There's Adam and there's Jesus. Let's see how it works. With Adam, one influential man changes everything. Verse 21, beginning of the verse. Since death came through a man. He goes on to say something about resurrection. And then verse 22, for as in Adam, all die. And he goes on to say something about Jesus. But here's what happened with that one man, Adam. Death comes through Adam, and all die because of Adam. Adam, the first human being, rejected what God wanted. He rebelled against God. And so judgment came on Adam and Eve. And instead of living forever in God's perfect place, death came into their existence and they died. And that death, because of sin and judgment, has come down to all of us. Are you in Adam? That question means, are you a human being? That's what it means to be in Adam. All of us are. We were born like humans. And so we've all received this inheritance from him to sin and to die. Since death came through a man, yes it did. As in Adam, all die. Yes, we do. One influential man changes everything. But look, Jesus is also an influential man. And he changes everything as well. So since death came through a man, verse 21, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Here's another influential man who changes everything. Jesus. Jesus has been raised from the dead and he gives new life and he will give a resurrection life to all who trust in him. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? Who are the all? To be in Christ, we need to turn to him and trust in him. We need to repent, to turn our lives around and see what the way we've lived is not the way God wants. And we need to put our trust in Jesus as the one who's died for us and brings us forgiveness and is alive and gives us life. And when we do that, we become in Christ. We move from the sphere of Adam, the influence of Adam, to the sphere of Jesus, the influence of Jesus. And then we get resurrection through him. Verse 21, since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, that's all of us, everyone, because of sin and God's judgment. So in Christ, that's everyone who turns to Jesus, all will be made alive because of his resurrection. Here's a really silly illustration of that. Cricket World 2020 Cup. Now that was ended last week with a final, a very thrilling final between England and the West Indies. Now if you turned up at that match, you could either support England or the West Indies. Or you might even support both. You might change halfway through, seeing how the match is going. Let's suppose you support England. So as you turn up, you're in the England crowd, aren't you? You're in England. Or we might think of a particular player in that team who's very influential. You're in Ben Stokes, let's say. Now, if you know nothing about cricket, I'm losing you already. I'll give you a hint. He's a good bowler, but he really messed it up at the end of the match, okay? So there's a little hint. Let's say we're in Ben Stokes supporting England, okay? Well, what happens at the end of the match? He bowls badly in the last bit of the match. The West Indies score loads of runs and England lose. And at the end of the match, Ben Stokes is less in tears on the pitch. There he is in the picture. And so are you, because you're in Ben Stokes. You're an England supporter. You're in that realm of influence. It's disastrous. One man has a huge influence on you. If, however, you decided during that match, or maybe beforehand, that you were going to be in the West Indies, in their crowd, then we could say that you would be in, let's choose one of their players, let's say Carlos Brathwaite. I'm not sure if that's how he pronounced his second name. I don't know. I know nothing about Carlos except he's the guy who whipped Ben Stokes around the pitch in the last over. So he scored loads of runs and it meant they won. So let's say we're supporting them, we're in their crowd, we're in the West Indies, or we're in Carlos. And Carlos scores loads of runs and how do we feel? Absolutely brilliant. We're rejoicing. His winning of that match changes our lives. One man has an enormous amount of influence. Well, it's a silly illustration, isn't it? Let's get back to reality. Are we in Christ or in Adam? If we're in Adam still, and if we've stayed in Adam, we haven't turned to Jesus, that's where we are, then what faces us is just death and God's judgment. on us. But if we turn to Jesus, make that conscious switch in our lives, and it has to be conscious, it doesn't happen because of our parents, it doesn't happen because we sit in a pretty building for 20 years or whatever, we have to make a conscious switch and turn to him, then resurrection will be our lives, and we'll be rejoicing, like the West Indies, after the T20 final. Are you in Christ or in Adam? Think right in Christ, or we'll be raised. Well, we need to carry on thinking right. That's the first reason that resurrection is going to happen to Jesus' followers. Here's the second, and that's that Christ is reigning. Christ is in charge. God's got a big plan, and Jesus is the one who rules over everything in this plan. And Jesus is going to have the victory, and the end of that victory will be God's people being raised. And Paul outlines in verses 23 to 28 this amazing plan. It begins with Christ, the first fruits. Now this is something they had in their harvest. The Jewish people in their harvest festivals, they would bring first fruits. It comes from when they left Egypt and went to the promised land. And after a year in the promised land, they brought the first things from their harvest. They brought the best of the harvest as an offering to God. It was the first fruits. So it was the best, but also it was a sign there was loads more. This symbol of the harvest was a sign that there was abundance to follow. And so Jesus is the first fruits. He's the best and perfect first resurrection from the dead permanently, but also he's a sign that there's loads more to follow in those who trust in him. Jesus is the first fruits. And then when Jesus has come, which he has, then, verse 23, when he comes, he's going to return those who belong to him. That's you and me if we're trusting in Jesus. Then, verse 24, the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. So what's Jesus doing now? Verse 25, he must reign. He's reigning. He's in charge. He's king. King of kings. Lord of lords. And he will be until he returns and brings believers to life again, and death will finally be defeated. So we need to think right, as Paul outlines God's amazing plan, and see that Jesus has victory over all, including death. Will we be raised? Will people be raised, followers of Jesus? Look at God's plan. Jesus is Lord. Yes, they will. In 2009, if you'd have gone behind a hoarding near London Bridge in the centre of London, you'd have seen a mess, a big muddy area with some old bits of concrete building and all those rods coming out of them and mess and diggers and all sorts of rubbish everywhere. And you thought, oh goodness, what a dreadful mess. And maybe you'd have said that out loud. And someone would say, oh, come with me. And they take you to the site office, one of those port cabins, and they take a big tube out of a thing in the corner and they unroll this great big thing, and it's a big plan, and you look on this plan, and there on the plan is a pointy building, 310 metres high, made of glass, the Shard, and that's what they're building. At the time it looked like a mess, but when you see the plans, you see the reality of what's going on. And now of course we look back and we go, wow, the Shard, or how did they get to build that in London, or something like that. But when you see the plans, you see what's going on, and we see here the plans of what's going on behind the scene, what God has got in store. So think right. Will this resurrection happen to you? Jesus is reigning. God's plan is there. It's on its way. Are you trusting in him? Think right. You will be raised. Christ is reigning. And because of that, life can be risked. This is part of the whole live risky idea. In the next few verses, verses 29 to 32, Paul shows that the behaviour of the Corinthians, of his behaviour, Christian behaviour, only makes sense if the dead are raised, and they are. First of all, he talks about the baptism of the dead. Verse 29, what will those do who are baptised for the dead? We haven't got a clue what he's talking about. People have put forward lots of ideas. About 40 ideas are there in the commentaries about what Paul's talking about. But basically, whatever it was, it made no sense if the dead were not raised. But the Corinthians were doing it. They can't make up their minds, can they? Paul doesn't endorse what it is. It seems to be that maybe some people became Christians, but then died before they had a chance to be baptised. And so their friend, thinking that baptism was important, would get baptized on their behalf. Maybe. But there are 39 other possibilities. So the point is, it makes no sense if you don't believe the dead are raised. But what about Paul, the next few verses? Verse 30. As for us, Paul, and those with him, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's life is full of danger. And we discover in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, five times I received the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked, spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move, been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in the city, in danger in the country, at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've laboured and toiled, often gone without sleep. I've known hunger, thirst, often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Paul endangered himself. He faced death every day, he says, yes. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Paul did that because he knew that Jesus would be raised. And so he would be raised and he could die doing any of those things. And it wouldn't matter, actually. He said, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because he would be raised. He could live risky. Paul could live risky. And so we can too. We can echo what Paul did. We can follow his model. We don't need to be in danger on the sea and be beaten with rods and that kind of thing. But we can look at our lives and stop making those safe and aspirational middle class plans and start making plans that are based on the gospel of Jesus and wanting others to hear of him and to live for him in our lives. We're going to be raised. Jesus is reigning. We can be bold. We can be edgy. We can be risky as we live for Jesus. So think of Joseph of Arimathea. He's one of the characters we meet in the Easter story. But when Jesus was crucified, Joseph was a secret follower of Jesus. But he went to Pontius Pilate to ask if he could bury Jesus' body. What boldness that took. Because he thought Jesus was important. Think of the rich young ruler. He's a character we meet who meets Jesus. He's in the Gospels. Jesus says to him, look, be risky, be edgy. Go away, sell everything you've got and come and follow me. And he goes away sad because he doesn't want to do that. He cares more about his wealth than following Jesus. He's not edgy or bold. Think about Paul writing about spiritual armour in Ephesians 6. He says, let your feet be fitted, not with sandals, but with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's picture language to say, where are you ready to go? What are you ready to do for the sake of Jesus, who has this gospel, this good news of new life and of resurrection life with him one day? We're going to be raised. Jesus is reigning. What can we do? We can be risky. Live risky. Now, someone might say, hang on a minute, isn't that the kind of thing they say in ISIS? Don't they say, you're going to have eternal life, so you can go and blow yourself up? Aren't we in danger of giving out a recipe for extremism? No, because we're talking about living for Jesus. And living for Jesus, we love people, not do violence to them. We're self-giving, not others harming. Totally different. So how can you live risky? Maybe it's about your plans for how you spend your time. Maybe there's something you could change there to be more living for Jesus. Maybe you're thinking about your career as you're in your life ahead, or the work that you're doing and what you might do in the next few years. Your retirement, maybe. How are you making those plans? Is Jesus involved in them? And the gospel? What about telling your friends that you trust in Jesus? Inviting someone to church or something? You're giving. How about spending a bit more time finding out about Jesus? Come to St. Lawrence Central or something like that. Live risky. You will be raised. Life can be risked. Live risky. And one last little thing at the end of this passage, the last couple of verses. False teachers are rejected. Just a little note here to warn us about not being risky in our lives. You see, where do they get this problem from, these Corinthians, who think that people aren't going to be raised? is from false teachers. Look at verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Where have they got these wrong ideas? People who are ignorant of God have brought them in. False teachers. And the challenge is, where are we going to get our learning from? Who's teaching us? Look at end of verse 32. This little quote of Paul's. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Sounds like the culture around us, doesn't it? Let's eat and drink. Let's go on holiday to the Bahamas or wherever. Let's spend all our money on our bucket list because we're just going to die. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Is that what's teaching us? Is that where we're getting our lifestyles from? It's a false teacher. Don't be misled. False teachers are rejected. So, think right, live risky. I wanted to encourage you and me to be more risky, more edgy, more bold about living out our faith in Jesus than we currently are, because we will be raised. Because we will be raised. Think right. Think Jesus reigning, God's amazing plan. His resurrection means our resurrection. Live risky. Time to think about changes. What can we do different? More edgy. More bold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the wonder of Jesus' resurrection that we celebrate today and really every day of our lives, trusting in him. Thank you that through his death, he's made us right with you and given us this promise of resurrection to be with you one day. Help us, Lord, to think right about this, to have our thinking, our planning centred around it, to know Jesus in the heart of who we are and what we want to do with ourselves and our lives. Help us to live risky. Lord, take us a step further in our devotion to you, our living out our faith in Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.